like in that amount of notice. You know, we got to give him more
time.
Well,
I actually I saw him earlier in the week.
You did? Oh, okay.
Yeah, just he was hanging out with.
You ran into him.
Yeah, actually, in Food Lion in Shepherdstown, but I had seen him, and so he had mentioned that he was interested in, and I said something to him, but I'd forgot to send him the invite, and so, you know. Anyway,
okay.
Anyway, so he'll be on next week. He's got, you know, he had a one-line response to our theme of trying to tempt him into making predictions, right, for 2024. And the first one he came up with was most important presidential election since 1860.
Wow, anyway, that's pretty good.
That's gonna be his, I think it would be his first response. So let me
yeah,
by the way, I've started the recording, so welcome to the Labor Beat Radio Show. We're a little ahead of time, but everybody's present, so we might as well get started. My name is John Case, and my good buddy JB Christensen is dialing in or calling in from way south of the border. And oh, here Scott's coming back in. He's in twice now. Oh, no, there he is. Okay. And Scott Marshall, my good buddy and comrade from Chicago, from so far ago, neither of us can remember, probably. So, anyway, welcome to the Labor Beat Radio program here. It's the first show since the start of the year, and I was hoping that we were going to try to get Ray Smock to make some predictions, but I figure we should, you know, make our own here. And I think you have to sort of take a test, right? A little bit. I mean, now we all claim to be, you know, advocates of a scientific outlook to the extent that we can be scientific about things. And so we could do our best and try to, you know, answer a question that probably doesn't have a explicitly scientific answer, like what's going to happen tomorrow. Anyway, but I noticed, by the way, there's some terrible incident in Rochester this morning that they're calling a terrorist attack, a domestic terrorist attack.
What happened?
That's terrible.
Well, somebody crashed a car deliberately into some public New Year's event.
Oh my God!
Oh shit!
And it blew up or caused a. It's an evolving story, as they say. But anyway, starting off the new year on a downhill note. So that was the guy. So I'm going to start with one of you guys and see whether you. I'm sure since the first is passed, and if you stayed up late, you probably, engaged in a toast or two. So, and then we have the hopes for the best. But what about predictions for the year, Scott? You know, I know you're a guy. You think ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm the eternal optimist, and I actually think that that Biden's going to get elected. And that'll make all the difference in the world on all kinds of fronts. So, I look at all the young people and all the active union organizing that's going on, and All the energy that the labor movement's beginning to get ready for and to put into the election. And I just think that I think we're gonna do it. And that may be saving the country if we do.
Yeah. Well, I heard an expert. Well, he said he's an expert on Trump this morning on Bloomberg. Was asked about what was Trump's strategic policy, and he laughed and he says, "I don't have the slightest idea. I'm not sure he does either." Well, you know, so anyway, but JB, come on, give us something you want to predict for 2024. Doesn't have to be the presidential election, but I mean, of course.
Oh, I know. I'm cool with that. I can't believe how much better my reception is down here
than your backyard.
I'm gonna pick Michigan for the national championship.
Mm. Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, Washington looked great. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from them, but I do think Michigan, it's their turn, you know, and Washington's never won it before, so they probably never will.
Okay.
That was Bobby saying goodbye.
Bye, Bobby.
I think the Dodgers are going to win the World Series.
Huh?
The Dodgers.
You think so, huh?
No, they just bought the best pitchers in the world.
No.
Are you kidding me?
There we go.
If the Dodgers don't win it, man, somebody's going to get fired over there quick. Real quick.
You spend that kind of money and not win.
I think they're going to get a contract with Microsoft for labor.
Activision.
Mm.
That's true.
And I think they would. John's going to fill us in on that because that was his homework assignment this week.
It was. That's right. Well, I've been getting Bill Gates did not mention it in one of his letters to former employees.
Of course not.
I was going to say
that.
Of course
not, John. But,
he had a few other messages. But
out there.
No, Activision is they're in active negotiations. Microsoft has recognized the union.
Yeah.
They haven't got a contract quite yet. But it's a good move. And I'm not sure what it portends for the rest of the tech industry. It's a lot of Canadian, mostly, I think, Canadian employees in Activision. But, it's part of maybe it's. There's very little that still happens strategically in Microsoft that Gates is not involved with. He doesn't run the business anymore directly. But, for example, you look at what happened with the OpenAI situation where a bunch of the developers and board members wanted to pursue the mission of openness and non-commercial uses of AI. But then they went out and took $15 billion of an investment from Gates, basically, and thought they were going to go do their own thing. Mistake. anyway, and he directly got involved. And guess who he got to join that board? You know, Larry Summers.
Yeah.
Former Secretary of the Treasury.
Your best friend.
Probably one of the most influential intellectuals in the country. Anyway, so that's a pretty powerful reach. To be able to do that. Anyway, so my predictions are one that I don't think Biden's going to make it
What?
I don't think he's going to. I don't think he's going to.
You tell me I got to stay down here now.
I think there's going to be other candidates come in. I think he's. I think it's 60-40. He's not going to make it for one reason or another. There are a lot of external factors involved that make a winning prediction, I think, pretty difficult. I don't think there's any current bounds on how bad this global militarization can get. I heard a spokesman for the administration this morning talking about, you know, the need to build up forces for actual armed conflict with China over Taiwan, for expanding the war in Ukraine if Putin does not suffer some defeat internally politically. And similarly, now what's happened with Iran deploying a warship into the Mediterranean. So I just think those things are going to wear him out. And I think I see signs of it. He's a good guy on domestic policy, but he's married it to a explosion of the Cold War, no less than Trump was doing before he got.
Yeah, you're right.
Out.
You're right about that.
And it's, I think the chances of it ruining him are about equivalent, not quite the same combination of forces, but not all that different from what wiped out Lyndon Johnson. So I'm pessimistic about his ability to make it to the finish line. Now, I think that if he doesn't, somebody will come forward and run against and will beat Trump. Because I don't think Trump is out just to win. I think he's out to wreck, you know, the Republican form of government in the United States, period.
Absolutely.
Do you think somebody like Romney's going to come in and sweep in?
I don't know who. But I listened on Bloomberg yesterday to Bill Ackman, who's a right-wing billionaire. You know, he's the one that's trying to push, get rid of the president of Harvard for tolerating Palestinian rights protests on campus. And, you know, he came out straight out and said that he wants, you know, somebody to replace Biden, but he hates Trump. A bunch of the billionaires hate Trump. They don't want him, but they want their own guy, and they're not sure that, you know, none of them love unions really. Okay, and Biden is too close to the labor movement on domestic policy. They don't like him for that, even though they hate Trump. So I don't know what they're going to do, but I figure they're going to come up with somebody.
Well, you heard about Bezos, right?
No, what's the latest there?
He's moving to Mars. He went to check out this mansion.
That's good. That's very good.
That's the Blue Origin going to the red planet.
I think I told you guys about my grandkids and that, right?
I don't think so.
Well, I was sitting with one of my grandsons, and I said, you know, someday you might be living on the moon. And he looked at me and he said, Grandpa, I think you mean Mars. These kids know so much stuff.
That's right, man. That's a planet. You don't want to live on that moon.
He's not even 10 years old.
Right.
Well, and he already knew that they were building things on Mars and that had projected that the moon couldn't sustain life. He even knew the whole thing about how they could create an atmosphere like Earth's on Mars.
Terraforming. Sure. Right.
Yeah. Well, they're melting all the ice and snow.
Yeah, and you could get more oxygen in the atmosphere. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But maybe they used to be hotter better planet, you know, and
yeah,
there was those guys came here.
Yeah. I'll ask your grandson. He probably knows.
They're probably already here.
Yeah. Just waiting for us to fall apart.
I know.
That's right.
I know.
Self-destruct.
But by the way, I hear our co-host here, Karen's daughter, is going to announce her campaign next the 13th. Or launch it. So for a delegate. And somebody else has just announced is going to run for the Harpers Ferry seat too.
But that's 100. That's District 100.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's
so
great
younger
news,
people.
John.
Young people are coming forward, and you know our old friend John Doyle. He's awful worried because they don't dress right. But. Whatever. Anyway.
Yeah. Can we get Doyle on the show? We should get Doyle on the show. He'd be great.
I don't know. Maybe.
His laugh alone is worth it.
Yeah, well, I think he's past
Scott,
it.
Scott would love him.
He wanted to be Lyndon Johnson, you know, in his... He did.
Yeah.
And he was effective as long as there was some kind of comity, what do you call it, or between the parties in the state legislature, and you could do deals. And he still thinks that's the way to go. But it's interesting that his compadre in the state Senate, John Unger, actually came to the conclusion that the divisions are so bad that you can't do that anymore. It just doesn't work, you know. Everything you deal with them, you're sliding backwards, you know. I mean, if you go 1 inch forward, you're going 10 feet back some other direction. And, you know, he gave it up. You know, you can't do that kind of politics. Or he couldn't. And I don't think, you know... Doesn't look to me like, for example, John is very opposed to this guy Zach Shrewsbury, who is an open and working class socialist running for governor, and a guy that has some credentials. You know, he's a Marine Corps vet. You know, he's not afraid of going to talk to Cecil Roberts. You know, so
English part too,
huh?
He was an organizer for the Workers' Family Party, too.
Yeah. So, but, you know, that's the kind of guy he doesn't dress right, according to John, so.
You know, it's hard for him to find a suit that fits. Man, he's a big guy.
That's right. Anyway. But I like these young people that are running.
He's very
you know, they're
I think he's gonna do fine.
Bold. They're reaching out. You know, for example... And you got to find people that are thinking broadly about the constituency that they're seeking to represent.
Absolutely.
Not just their particular issue they're passionate about. I mean, that's important for people to get passionate about stuff.
By the way, John?
Yeah.
He's no George Santos, that's for sure.
No. Yeah, we don't need that. But you can easily get sucked into single issue things that, you know, look rosy, maybe, but, you know, you got to think them through about, you know, what they mean.
Right.
A lot of times a lot of times you have to get your ass kicked first. Then you start to think about it. You know, I had all kinds of ideas in the early days in the labor movement about, you know, things you could do to shoot at the company, you know, but after a while you learn what they can do to shoot back too.
Yeah.
You know, and you should consider your tactics a little bit anyway. I'm hopeful we just survive through. If we get through this year and we can somehow push some more organizing, like you've been talking about, Scott, with the maybe the big companies and make some headway in other areas. I was talking to this fella, Jonah Cohn. Remember we had him on? He's with Rank and File Truckers Movement, right? I was wondering how those guys are thinking now after the season of, the UPS struggle and the whole strike season. And we should probably see how them and the RWU, Railroad Workers United outfit, see how some of them are, thinking about things. And I'm wondering how some of that stuff is also going to play into the election. I know the councils are nervous about things that can cause disunity.
Yeah.
And they're right to be so, because, it's hard to judge. But that's one example of like why this, the global situation, like the Israeli-Palestine issue is very tough not to do something about. Because you can see it's going to do some serious damage, right? On the other hand, if you go forward without solidarity, you're screwed. I mean, you're not screwed. You're not screwed. You just don't move, basically, and you end up with big internal struggles, which I guess are inevitable, but. You hate for it to happen right in the middle of the battlefield campaign.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. I see the what do you think about all the press articles? Okay, and I don't argue with them. I listened to Jared Bernstein's speech on New Year's, for example. Pointing out the very positive impacts of the president's economic record. The Fed is bringing inflation down, even though interest rates are still at a level that I think would add $1,000 or maybe $1,500 a month to mortgage payments to new home buyers if they wanted to go out and I don't know where that money is. People have been getting some raises, and they actually got a net increase this past year, okay? Largely due to the labor movement's big battle, this year. I mean, certainly. But a lot of these arguments about how great everything is doing end up sort of coming around to, well, what the hell? If everything is so great, how come 250,000 people went on strike last summer? I mean, in my experience, people don't walk out on strike over nothing. Right. They don't do that. Matter of fact, most times they don't even walk out to attack the company. They walk out to defend themselves, mostly. I mean, really. I mean, that's the mentality that you see in rank and file people. So there's somebody misreading why the American working class is not feeling that optimistic.
What's going on with the AI, the other Scott Marshall?
The other Scott Marshall? I don't know.
Yeah, I got two Scott Marshalls, so it's an AI.
Yeah, it came up.
It's your phone. That's your phone. Huh.
There it is.
That's it. That's your exactly phone. It. Yeah, you have two connections. There you go. Okay.
Yeah, but it just showed the curtain from my room.
Well, it's lucky.
Did you see that shot?
Yeah.
Look,
I know.
Did you see that? That was pretty. That was cool.
Yeah.
AI is
color.
Well, man.
I liked it. Oh God!
AI is going to be a big thing in next year. I predict AI absolutely is going to be number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. And all these incredible warning signs about it, where people are saying that it's going to take over this, it's going to take over that, it's going to.
Yes, it is. It's going to.
Yeah, it's just.
Yeah.
And at least a lot of people are investigating how to stop it, but AI is smarter than humans, so I don't know what.
Actually, on the testing scores, it scored about a B.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in comparison. I mean, well, averaged over on some topics, it scored much higher. But on most of them, it was. But that was the serious job threat, because the B, they gave it all this standardized tests, like the SATs, like the high school graduation tests, like the sixth grade graduation test. They've given the chatbots, right, all these exams, right, and see how it does, right? And in some subjects, it does better than people, and others, not so quite as good. But in a lot, it's at a kind of a B level, right? And but B level, then you try to do a mapping of what does a B on all these tests represent in terms of job skills that one could replace.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And so, and that's, you can make a number of estimates, low ball it or high ball it, but no matter what you do, it turns out to be pretty significant. But I mean, if you go back to the Marxist point of view, which I always like economically, the source of value is labor.
Yeah.
If somebody doesn't, you know, take it out of the ground or create it or produce it, you know, it just sits there under a million miles of geologic rock, and that's it until the star blows up. So in the meantime, all value is created. So if you're going to replace all kinds of operations that humans are doing either by hand or by brain right now, then what are the remaining humans, what kind of work are they going to do? Because they're going to do something. Everyone's going to get up in the day and start doing shit. You know, and so whatever, is it going to be creating value? And what kinds of value? And are we talking about getting beyond? I mean, if you can produce the means of staying alive in abundance, cheaply, well, then universally or in proportion, people have the choice to spend the rest of their time doing something about work without working for money.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of world is that? That's a different kind of, well, that's what Marx envisioned communism was supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they'd be helping people.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, so, I mean, and I don't see how you avoid having to think about that. There was a big study. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, like all of us have said many times, we have the resources of the production to take care of everybody on the planet. Maybe we can start doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
There's a big lawsuit now pending against Google, okay, from New York Times. But I'm sure other publishers are going to join the Times about the robber, their AI engines. But this is going to be true of all of the AI engines are, you know, loading billions of items of copyrighted material into their databases. And not only that, the major platforms have everything you have ever done on them.
Oh, God.
Okay. Yeah. So, I predict.
You talking about Epstein?
No, well, him too. Shit, yeah. So, my other prediction for this year is that the Supreme Court is not going to make Google pay for all those copyrights. Because the AI engines won't work. They won't work paying, doing all that. Right now, for example, I don't think if you wanted to tag, in order to tag every little bit of information you put in that thing before it all got broken down into these tokens and numbers, basically. Good luck on sourcing it all backwards. You know, mm-hmm. I don't think it can be done. But you could set up a tagging system. Okay, you could do that. All right. But in but the payments and the payment system and all that would be I just don't think it would put USAI at a unbelievable disadvantage compared to those, for example, of China. Okay, now China's approach to these big monopolies is, if you're going to have the data, so are we. I mean, the government. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's been their approach all along. And, you know, so, I mean, and every government will be faced with a similar choice, fundamentally, okay? If you privatize, if you try to privatize every little bit of data, I mean, good luck ever using the engines to achieve any of the positive aspects of AI, okay? You just won't be able to do it, not compared to somebody else who does not have that constraint. So I figure that Google will win. But then you're left with the problem that that's still all privately, or 90% privately possessed. Maybe they don't own your data, but they have it. Even if they promise not to sell it to somebody else, they're not promising not to use it for their own purpose.
They already got it for free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how would you take it away from them without, in a way, without having similarly large platforms to support? I just don't see it. It just seems like the technology has itself. Another thing Karl Marx said way back, Paul Samuelson called by a different name. He called it exogenous resources. But nonetheless, that you have essentially where the real world, you know, the real means of production and technology, basically in the short word, drives 80% of the changes in ways of life, jobs, development of economies, and not so much, not, and so that sense that you're in part of a system, right? You're part of a global, national, whatever economic system. It varies a little bit in the mix by different countries, varies a lot in some cases, but still. Anyway, I think the AI thing is going to head into, the government's going to end up saying pretty much one way or another the same thing to Google and Microsoft and Amazon and these other guys, the same thing that the Chinese have said to the big companies in China.
No.
Because I don't think there's another way out of it without a jam up, you know, that... I don't know.
Do you think we can get AI to promote world peace?
You mean a robot? You ask a robot to promote? Well,
it's the technology. It's the technology and having or not having it, and make that, you know, a bargaining chip.
I think you should start to think in terms of whether it has you rather than whether you have it.
We should end the show. That's a good one. That's profound, John.
Are you part of the Borg or not?
I'm moving to Columbia. There's better internet down here.
All right. So, well, anyone got any best wishes for the? Let's trade toasts. We had our predictions. Let's try toasts. And then we can sign off for today.
Lightly toasted.
Lightly toasted. I like to toast girl from the North Country.
Yeah, I want to see that.
It's profound. And man, it captures the Bob's skeptical outlook, but basically very humanistic, almost a tragic outlook, but a very humanistic one. It just beautifully does it. So that was sort of
I'll toast Oppenheimer.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
And it deals with all kinds of things that we better start dealing with.
Oh, my God. A three-hour movie, and I barely noticed it.
Yeah.
I was glued to the thing. And something about the way they did the sound effects in the movie just kept, was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was just weird.
That's why I bought it.
Oh.
I'm going to play it again for my kids and all kinds of things.
It's really it's an important film. Did it win the Golden Globes? I mean, it was up against Barbie. Everybody likes Barbie, too. But
I think Barbie did, yeah.
Well,
people want to be lighthearted.
you know, if you take Oppenheimer seriously, you got to take a serious look at what happened in the 1950s, in the post-war era in this country.
Exactly.
And a lot of fateful things were done that have borne a terrible fruit.
Yep.
So, well, I don't have anything other than to toast, other than solidarity.
I'm going to toast our poll on ceasefire in Gaza. It won unanimously 5-0.
It did? That's good.
The new stance of the Eastern Panhandle Central Labor Council is asking for a ceasefire in Gaza.
Did Danny come on? I thought he had some questions, you know, but anyway.
You know, by now, I'm pretty sure there are over 800 labor organizations that have called for a ceasefire. And of course, as we all know, the UAW itself, the international, called for a ceasefire. And we're gaining some ground in the steelworkers on it too. We've got some locals moving in that direction, and we're trying to get the international, and they haven't said they're opposed to it. We're just waiting to see. But I think that's an incredible upsurge in labor.
Yeah, we need to get more political.
Yep.
Well, I think so.
All right, John.
All right, everybody. Take care of each other. It's late, but everything comes next. Okay.
Happy New Year.
Yep.
Happy New Year. All right. Solidarity.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Forever. All right. Bye-bye, baby.
Okay. Bye.